Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Hey, yo, what's up? Welcome to the Rick Thorne Podcast. On this episode, I got badass Poncho Moeller. You might know him as a pro skateboarder, an actor, and a stand-up comedian. I'm going to call him right now. Let's do this. What's up, dude? What are you doing?
What up, man? Just chilling out. Just, got up, got ready, went and did some exercises, and now I'm just here with you, man, ready to chat.
Sweet, bro. So did you like the voice? You know, do you ever notice when people talk before they go on camera, they're like, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah. And then the mic comes on or the press record and they're like, hey, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. I definitely noticed that.
Did I just do that to you?
Oh, absolutely. You're like, you did it one time and then you were like, wait, let me just do it again. And then you just came in, you like snapped in the character.
Hey, hi, right? Welcome to the Rick Thorne Podcast. We got Poncho Moeller, incredible skateboarder.
Yeah, you got me kind of nervous now, man. The pressure's on.
Yo, look, man, when we met, we reconnected, we really didn't know each other real well. I still feel like an idiot when I thought you were somebody else, dude. That's
No, don't worry about it.
I mean, how could I get you wrong? You know what I mean?
You're not the first and you won't be the last. You know? Yeah.
Anybody out there listening, I did an episode of Monster Garage and is it Bro? What's his name? Bro something? What's his name? You know who he is? The other skater that was on Monster Garage? That I thought was you?
Well, it wasn't we, man.
No.
Because you guys are good friends, right?
Yeah. Wee Man's right there on the wall, right back there.
Oh, there we go.
He
made it to the Rick Thorne wall, man.
I tell you, bro. Hey, do you ever get that? Do people always think you're Wee Man? Do you get that confused a lot?
You know what? It used to be a lot more when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I actually skateboarded. I would get that a lot. And now it's more Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage, I get that a lot. And then I also get...
Wait, who's that?
I like that. Yeah, who is that?
I don't know who that is. I'm not even being lame. Is that another skater?
No, absolutely not. It's a guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't watch that stuff.
Oh, you don't watch? You don't? That's a good show.
Bro, I'm sure it is. Dude, check it out, bro. Not to interrupt you, but like, I don't watch much TV because I'm out like riding and I got all these, you know, I got all these things you're doing all the time. It's hard for me to sit down and watch like a show. I watch a movie and then my attention span is like, all right, I'm out.
I get that, dude. Yeah, I get that. I like that about you, man. You're always out and about. You're still riding. You're fucking taking photo shoots with Tony Hawk, like doing crazy shit.
Trying, bro.
Still doing it, man. That's amazing. That's very inspiring. It's man.
Yeah,
I wish I could still do that. You know.
Yeah, you could though, bro. If you just like, it's more kind of like me and Tony talk about that. It's just kind of like a thing that you've been doing your whole life and you wake up and you search for that feeling every day. You know what I mean? And you being a skater, you get it. Like you search for that, like, I don't want to say like, it's a drug, dude. It's a feeling of like this accomplishment. You know what I mean? I don't have to preach to you, but anyone out there listening, they ask you, they think you ride because you're sponsored all this, which is great, but that's a whole nother story. But I want to get back to something though. Who else do you ever get that? You said earlier we didn't finish the thought about you being compared to Wee Man. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, I used to get that a lot. And then now it became Peter Dinklage, the guy from Game of Thrones. But I also every once in a while get Brad Williams now that I do stand up. And Brad Williams is a little person who's a very, very funny and famous stand-up comedian. He's been doing it for like 20 years. He's great, but I get that a lot too. So it's kind of a weird thing. I think he kind of explained it in a special once. It's because he gets it a lot too. He gets like Wee Man or Peter Dinklage, and he kind of explained it like it's almost like the midget of the moment, you know, like whoever people think I am, that's who I am to them. I can't be nobody else, and so. Whatever, you know, it is what it is. I've even had people like confuse me with like Wee Man or the guy Peter Dinklage, and then now I'm like, sorry, dude, it's not me. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, of course I'm sure. What the fuck?
No, dude, are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, yeah, I get it, bro. Like, people come up to me all the time. They used to, and they'd be like, are you Travis Barker? And I'll be like, dude, are
Oh,
you good
you get
shark?
that a lot? You get that a lot too? Yeah.
I used to.
I could totally see that, but like you don't have a mohawk, or do you?
No, but Travis doesn't anymore, neither. But just
Okay.
like, but you know, that was years ago. That was like, because I used to ride for Travis, for Famous, actually.
Okay.
Me and Travis became, you know, we've been friends since he was in the Aquabat days. But I would get good Charlotte a lot,
Oh, really?
and I'd be
Okay.
like, bro, I'm Rick Thorn, bro. I'll go out party. He's like, and nowadays I just have fun with it. Like the other day, someone's like, I know you, bro. I know the face. I can't think of your name. I said, my name's Rip, bro. He's like, that's it, bro. I'm like, don't trip on the Rip.
You know what's funny
I
is
told him I
how
was Rip Torn,
Rip Torn.
the actor.
I was at this like reception, this opening night reception for this woman who I forgot what the show was called. It's like Sarah Paulson's wife, but she was doing this one woman show, and it was amazing. But we were at the reception, the opening for it, and it's me and my wife, my tall wife, and we're all dressed up. I got a suit. She's in a nice dress, and there's these all these older women there, like older women dressed in these super beautiful dresses. And it was right during the time that the Oscars were happening, the other ones, about a year ago. And the movie Cyrano was out, and Cyrano was a movie where Peter Dinklage was in it, and he was getting like nominated and all kinds of shit. And the amount of older women that walked up to me and were like, oh my God, I saw you in Cyrano. You were amazing. I don't know, I hope you win the award because, oh, and they were tearing up, and my wife is standing next to me trying not to laugh, to the point where like by the fifth woman that came up to me and did this, I was like, listen, it's not my best performance, okay? Just back off. Like, and they were like, oh, are you not the guy? I'm like, no, I'm not the, but it was kind of hilarious, and it was just kind of crazy and breathtaking, like how far people go, and how I don't see myself looking like these people, but for some reason, like I said, the midget of the moment,
Dude, it's a tattooed guy at the moment.
right?
You're a white guy tattooed. You're all put the same. They
Yeah.
think. I mean, I've heard other stuff, but you know, I've heard some. This one dude came up to me one time. He's like, "Are you Rob Dedrick?" I was like, "Bro,
Oh my God,
come
really?
on, bro." Like, I mean, I love Rob. We don't look any like. Come on, bro. Like.
I know, but like it's almost too like it's like, okay, they just watch Ridiculousness or whatever, and then they see you and they're like, oh, Rob must have got,
Association!
yep,
Association game!
Rob must have got neck tattoos overnight. Yeah, like you know,
Yeah.
like
So funny. But anyways, whatever. It is what it is. Now that's why nowadays you know, you want people to know your name and know what you do. And yeah, it took a long time. It's still, I mean, but, you know, I'm sure everybody gets that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I bet you Michael Jackson got that. No, he probably
No.
didn't. You think Elvis ever got it?
Like mistaken for someone
Oh,
else?
are you
Hell no.
Johnny Cash? You'd be like, what?
Come on, man.
I just read that Bam got like a robe and a ring of Elvis's from Priscilla Presley.
Really?
I saw that on the TMZ.
Damn. She gave
They're
it to him, or
friends.
he
They're
bought it off her?
no, they're friends, is apparently. I don't know the story. I don't, but it said that she gifted him a Elvis robe and ring, and he gave it to his dad. I'm like, dude.
That's pretty cool, man.
Wow. Yeah. I'd
Do
sell
you
that
think
shit.
his dad wears it?
I know. I'd sell that shit.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
I
I'm a big Elvis fan. I wouldn't sell it at
like
all.
Elvis a lot too, man.
How can you not, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, you know, so let's talk about you, bro. Like skating. Let's start with that because you're a lot like me. You do a lot of everything. And
Yeah.
what did you start out skating? That's what your career started as, right? As people got to
Yeah,
know you.
yeah, yeah. I started skating around the age of 10, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I tried all kinds of different sports growing up. I was super competitive, but that was the one that kind of really stuck with me. And my parents were super supportive of that because I kind of like was in and out of different things that they finally saw me like really like
Right.
enjoying something that brought love to me. And so they were super supportive of it. And yeah, like I said, I started skating at the age of 10 and just kept going with it and just met the right people, had the right friends. We just kind of pushed each other. And by the age of like 16, I was sponsored and, starting to travel and do my thing. And it was great, man. I was like doing something that I was getting paid for, but I was going to do anyway, because that's what I love. That's what brought joy to me and gave me that feeling that, I don't know, I think it definitely was an addiction for me. I do have an addicted personality, and that was definitely a huge, the number one addiction for me, which was a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make this a typical boring, like, so when did you start skating? What got you into it? But I mean, I'm just kind of curious because I don't know about you, and I don't know, that's what these podcasts are about, get to know people. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Santiago, Chile. And
Are
then,
you? Are you Chilean? You're Chilean?
I'm Chilean. And my first language is actually Spanish. And I moved to the States when I was like 7. My mom divorced my dad. And and then we kind of moved around. She remarried my new father, my stepdad. And we just moved around the US a lot, but we mostly kind of lived in California for the most part, but I lived in the East Coast throughout high school. Like, so I had friends all over, the
Yeah.
continent.
Did you start skating back in Chile?
No. I started skating when I moved to California, actually. I started skating in like sixth grade.
Oh, cool. Oh, so
Yeah.
you were a lucky, like, California kid, bruh.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Living it.
I saw the luck because I skated like in California. I started in sixth grade. And I and into like ninth grade, and then I moved to New Jersey, Dirty Jersey, where I met a bunch of my skate buddies. But like
Dirty Jersey.
there, you can't skate in the winter, man. It's just too
No.
cold and just snowing everywhere. But our house, my house had a basement, and every house has a basement, but my house, like the basement was gutted, so it was just tall ceilings, cement everywhere, and I built like a whole training facility. And all my friends that like all my close friends would come to my house and we would skate throughout the winter. No one knew I had this. And when we would when
Wait,
spring would
a
come,
training facility like in the basement? Like, would you have like a little kick ramp, kick turn ramp, wall
no,
ride
I
or
had like a quarter pipe in there, like a
something?
ledge. Like I had like a hip ramp, like I had
Yeah.
like it was dope, dude. So we would just train and just kind of motivate each other and just keep pushing each other and get better and better. So by the time the spring came, because there was no skate parks during my time
I
there,
get it.
and if there was, they were really far away. Like it wasn't like how kids have it now where everyone's got a skate park in their town. That like we had the Marshall's curb is what we had. And so we would skate like my basement throughout the winter, and by the time spring would come about, we'd go skating again with all our friends, all our other friends, and they were like, "How are you guys so good? Like you guys like just got better." And that was like my little secret, and it was dope, man.
That's dope. That's dope. I grew up in the I can relate to that because I grew up in Kansas City and we would do like tricks in the basement. But it was more like we didn't have ramps. The bikes were so big, but that's when Flatland was real big. So we would do like tricks, like cherry pickers, Miami hoppers and stuff like that. I get it, bro. I get it. You gotta grind, bro. Like that's the thing. And so being in California, that was always my dream. So that's why I said, oh, you're a California kid. Living the dream. I went to Chile once, bro. We did a demo. It was me and Tony Hawk the first year, and then the next year, I think it was 96, 97, 97 was the first year I went, and then 98, it was like me, Matt Hoffman, Tony Hawk, Kevin Robinson. It was a big show. It was like this, I forgot what it was for. It was in this like little mini like arena. It was
So
wild.
did you guys do like a South American tour or just
No,
Chile
just
was the
that.
only stop?
Just
Oh,
Chile.
that's pretty cool, man.
Dude, it was dope. We went to Santiago and like people treated us like we were the Beatles. You know what I mean?
Oh,
They were
nice.
chasing
Yeah,
us
of
out to the
course,
car. And I was
man.
like, what the? And I'd gone from like doing like state fairs or like by the pig races, you know what I mean? To like people rocking the car. Ah! And I
You
was like,
guys
ah!
You got, I mean, that cruise seems like it was the Beatles of extreme sports right there, traveling around
It's crazy.
Santiago, Chile, man. That's great.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I love your country. Do you know Coco?
Coco Santiago?
Yeah, no, Coco Zurita.
No, I do not.
The
I do not.
BMXer.
I don't know him. I
Dude,
don't.
he's from Chile
Oh,
as
really?
well. Yeah,
Okay.
he's a big time one of the best like vert BMX pros. You guys should link up.
Really?
Do some
Awesome.
Chile doubles, bro.
Is he here in California?
Yeah, he lives up by Woodward, I think.
Okay.
Woodward West, up in that area. But he's an old school homie of mine. And anyway, so every time I hear Chile, another dude from Chile is my old bass player that's now in Korn, Ra Diaz.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
Damn, you've had these friends from Chile this whole time. You've
I
kept this
mean,
little secret from me. We've kept it from each other.
worldwide, bro. Worldwide, bro. That's what happens when you're part of Good Charlotte.
I didn't realize that BMXing was like a big deal in Chile.
It's not.
Oh, it's not?
No, BMX is, well, there's BMX. I didn't mean it like that. I'm kidding. BMX is everywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just.
But skating's always been more of like, as you know, and probably a lot of people listening to, is skating's always been a bigger in numbers, bigger
Okay.
more scenes. There's more people that skate than compared to bike riding. But there are pockets of scenes of bike riding. Just depends on where you live. But yeah, there's a good scene out there. I mean, I've been out there for years, but you know how it is. Like
Yeah.
everywhere, you guys may have 10 scenes and we have one. You know what I mean? So,
Okay.
it still exists. So what was that like though? Like moving from so you moved from Chile to California and then you went to
No, I
Jersey.
moved from Chile to Hawaii. So
Wait,
my
wait. So you
first.
moved. Where does Jersey come in here?
Oh, well, my stepdad, he was the executive chef for the Marriott Marquis. So basically, he was the guy.
Damn.
Yeah, he was the guy that would like go and set up the kitchen, hire the staff, create the menu, get the kitchen going, and then he would get transferred to a different resort and do that. So it was almost like I was like an army rat, but my dad was a chef, like, and we would just travel around the country doing that. And so I didn't stay in many places. I went to like four or five different high schools, like three different junior highs. Like it was like I was always a new kid.
Well, that's pretty cool, dude. That's amazing.
I moved to Hawaii first, and my first language was like broken English because in Hawaii they speak pidgin. You know? Hold on real quick. Shut up,
That's all
please.
right. That's all right, dude. Is that your dog?
Yeah, I have like four dogs and five cats. I have a fucking farm here.
Don't worry, my dog's gonna start barking here soon. They're gonna hear yours. Yeah, I worried about it. So that was so what was your like first like time where you got some love from like a sponsor? They're like, hey bro, we want to hook you up.
Why when I lived in Jersey, my buddies that I skated with, I had like no idea. I just skated for fun and just progression. You know, it was what brought me joy. And one of my homies, my buddy Tim O'Connor, who was a big time professional skateboarder for a long time, and he was just like, dude, you got to make a sponsor me video. I'm like, what the hell is that? And he's like, no, like we have so and so, we'll film you, we'll film each other. And then we'll edit it, and then you send it out to different companies, and they sponsor you and give you free shit. And I was like, what? Really? I'm like, that's how it works. All right. So we just filmed for like a few months, and I made this sponsor me video and sent it to like four different places. And
Awesome.
three of them
Yeah.
responded and started sending me shit right away. Like, it was great.
Dude, that's rad. Yeah, the sponsor me. I don't think kids nowadays know what the sponsor me tapes are because they have Instagram. So
Oh, yeah.
basically,
So.
yeah, your profile is your Instagram. So you go, just look at my Instagram and you could see everything about somebody, whether you want to, sponsor them or not.
Oh,
It's different.
absolutely.
Tell these kids all the time back in the day. It's like, do you know what a Xerox machine is? You had a
Yeah.
Xerox stuff and call up, who's
You
the
know
team manager?
what a
Send it in.
landline
Yeah. Send it in and be like, I hope someone responds. So then you start skating and you get more skating and then you get more, you started, if you, did you ever compete?
I did, but that wasn't like really my thing. You know how skateboarders like some of them like love and thrive off competitions. It just wasn't my thing. I did a few competitions. I just really struggled under pressure, you know?
I hear you. Well, where did you live in California?
I lived in San Jose, California. I also lived in San Francisco.
So you were NorCal.
Yeah, NorCal for the most part. And so the companies I skated for were pretty much NorCal based. Like I skated for Thunder Trucks, which is out of Deluxe, which is NorCal. I skated for Things Skateboards, Spitfire Wheels. The only like company down south I skated for was Volcom, which was awesome. They were badass. Like
Yeah.
clothing for days. Like I had a sponsor for every little gadget I had, you know. So it was
It's the
pretty cool.
best. It's the
Yeah, it was the
best.
best. It's like I called the UPS Chocolate Santa. Like they would be at my door like 3 times a week. It was great.
It's the best, bro. I tell you, man. So did you ride with Cab or skate with Cab ever up there?
I did skate
Hello?
with Cab a few times. I used to skate the Milpitas Skate Park,
I
which
know
was
it.
right by San Jose, and I
Yeah.
skated with Cab there all the time.
Did you do
It
the
was
San
great.
Jose skate park?
I didn't live there. San Jose Skate Park was there before I moved there, and then they tore it down, and then there was no skate park there for a while. And then the Milpitas Vans Skate Park opened up because they started opening up Vans skate parks all over, and that was a
Yeah.
fun park, man. I loved it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember that San Jose skate park. We did a contest there. That's the one I tore my urethra at.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh
I'm
man,
kidding. Dude, a
that sounds painful, dude.
back of a van with the catheter, with the torn urethra from San Jose to Oklahoma, then Oklahoma to Kansas City, right into a Beastie Boys concert. You know what I mean? That's how we live. That's how you roll.
Damn, man.
Yeah, anyways, I always think of Caballero.
How long did that take to heal? Something like that.
I don't know, about a month or so. It's just basically if you tear your quickly, I'll just say it quickly. If you tear your urethra, the catheter is put in so the urethra heals around the catheter so it doesn't heal
Okay.
shut. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So,
perfect.
but I'm a sprinkler now. Chicka-ticka-ticka-ticka. You know that. That's part of my act. So then check it out. So then I noticed that you've done a lot of movies and stuff too. Like, when did you get involved with that? Did skating help you with that?
No, definitely
No.
not. Skateboarding was different, like in a sense that I feel like skateboarding, at least for me, it was such a macho sport. At least when I did it, it was like so like if you don't try it, you're a pussy, you know, land it, you know,
But
like you know what I mean. It was
it's
like
still like that, isn't it?
I don't
I'm
know
kidding.
because
I'm
I haven't
kidding.
done
I'm
enough.
kidding.
Yeah, and so acting was a whole different transition because you gotta be vulnerable, you gotta like you gotta show emotion, you gotta give a shit, kind of in a different way. And
Yeah.
so that was really hard at first. And then kind of once I kind of gave in and kind of allowed myself to be vulnerable, it kind of worked for me. And I think that's when I was able to apply the discipline that skateboarding gave me, as
Yeah.
far as like I wasn't one of those skateboarders that could just step on a board and be great. There's some people like that, like Guy Mariano, Tony Hawk, Mark Gonzalez, people like that. I wasn't one of those skateboarders. I needed to skateboard every day, like 8 hours a day, to be great.
Got
And
it.
that was just my thing. And I love that. And I applied that same discipline kind of towards anything I do now. But like with acting, that's what it was. And paying money for classes and getting better, it became almost like my second addiction, you know, like wanting to be great at that, you know, and study with the best.
Absolutely. And so when you back up for a second, you said like skating was like a macho thing. I kind of relate that to how BMX is. And when you step into something else, people's minds are kind of like, no, but you do that. You're not supposed to do this. It's like, well, yeah, I do everything. And I get it. Like when you step into something that's completely different, but you're
Oh,
like,
yeah.
do you find that there's a feeling, for me, at least it is a feeling between acting and writing or skating, let's say, like skating makes you feel this way. Acting makes you feel this way. They don't do, or do they both make you feel the same when it comes to like expressing yourself and like being like part of like the way that it just makes you feel on the inside? Because people
You know
ask me
what?
all ask me all the time about that, so.
You know what it is? It's like a high, you know? It's like you're like with skateboarding, I was always chasing that high, that next great trick, that like that feeling that you get when you land something that you've been trying for so long, you know? And I
Yeah.
think that was the same high that I kind of got, that I kind of get from acting. Like when you do something good and you see it on the screen and you see it in your eyes and you see yourself allowing that, like to just be in the moment and be grounded and feel it. Like I feel like that's, I feel like it's the same thing in a different, in a different art, I think.
Do you think that, yeah, absolutely. Do you think that acting is not about you? Meaning like you as a person, like skating is all about you. What you could perform, what you could put down, what trick you do, what your style is, how high you go, how fast you go, blah, 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 blah. Acting is all about me listening to you, playing off of you. And when you're doing it, it's not about you. But then when it's done and packaged and you're watching it, it's all about you.
Yeah,
Does that make
I
sense?
feel
Does that make
absolutely.
sense?
Yeah, I feel like for
Because
me,
if
acting.
acting was all about you, it'd be like, ooh, it's like that's like stand up. It's all about me. It's all about me. But acting's not like that.
No, definitely not. Like the way I look at acting is like it's about listening, like exactly what you said, and reacting, being in the moment, going with your impulses. But I think for me, when I'm in a scene with somebody, my job is to make them look good. And if they're there to do the same thing, the scene is going to be beautiful. You know, it's not
Yeah.
about me acting better than you or you acting better. It's about us being there for each other. That's
Yeah.
it.
Playing off of each other.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so you went to school.
Yeah.
Good. You have
I
to.
well, I did a bunch of different acting classes, studied with a bunch of different people. I studied with a dude. I don't know if you remember back in the day of the movie Thrashing.
Yep.
Did you ever see the movie Thrashing?
Yeah,
Well,
yeah.
the guy Robert Ressler, he was in also he played the leader of the Daggers. I studied with him at this place called the Hollywood Playground, and it was kind of cool because he was like an actor but also a teacher, and he would always bring on like these celebrity friends that like he's been in movies with. Like I remember he brought like Josh Brolin to the room before because
Oh,
they were
cool.
in Thrashing together. He brought like a bunch of different Anthony Hopkins. He always promised Iron Man because he was friends with Robert Downey Jr. because they did Weird Science together, but he never came in. But no, it was one of the people I studied with. But also then I learned about the Actors Studio where you have to audition for, and it's method acting. And if there's only one audition a year, and if you don't get in, you have to wait a whole year to get in. And I got in the first try, but it's taken some people like for instance, like people that have come out of there, like Robert De Niro or like Al Pacino, Paul Newman. It took like Al Pacino, I heard, like 5 times to get in there. Like, you know, it's a hard place to get in. You can't pay money to get in. You have to just be good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're saying is that you could have been Scarface.
Oh yeah, man. No,
Yeah.
not at all.
Tony,
Not at all.
Tony, top So what kind of acting though? Is this, what is it? Meisner? That's what I studied.
There's Meisner. There's oh yeah, taking it. The more you can take in about the other person, the
Yeah.
more you can leave yourself alone and live truthfully in the moment. I love Meisner acting. I studied all those Meisner with Beau Jesse Christopher, Stanislavski.
Yep,
Used to
since last year. Yep.
audition classes and then method acting. I studied also at UCB, you know, United Citizens Brigade, like a lot of
Yep.
improv, you know, learning the rules to that. And but that shit's all expensive, dude. It just breaks a hole in my wallet, man, like big time,
It's like
you
team
know.
sports, like it's like youth sports.
Yeah, you can only take
I'm kidding.
I
I'm
feel like,
totally kidding. Totally kidding
yeah,
when I say that. Yeah.
I feel like I try to get as much as I can from whatever teacher I'm studying with, and then I move on. There's only so much you can learn from each person, you know?
Yeah, I mean it's I the way I feel with acting is that like it all depends on the kind of actor you want to be, you know? I mean some actors they play the same person every movie and make 20 million flick for it. It's
Oh
easy
yeah,
money.
absolutely.
Money
Yeah, no.
to the bank, but people want to watch that and that's what you're going to get. Then you got those dudes that like dig deep and make you want to cry and not everybody likes to sit around and cry, you know? They're like the surf, you know, it's kind of I kind of look at music like sorry, movies like kind of music, some type of music. Some movies are made just so people don't think and they can escape from like their daily grind for a couple hours and then they go back to what they have to do. And I feel like there's some music that's like that too. It's like specifically designed for that, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I was looking at the movies you've been in though, bro. I mean, well, first off, I'm going to ask you before I get into that. Do you still go out on auditions and stuff? Is acting still something that you are pursuing or?
Oh, yeah, no, I do pursue it. But like after COVID, you know, everything became self-tapes, meaning you produce your audition. Basically, you film it, you get the best, you pick the best one and you send it in. You're not going into a room anymore. And I kind of don't like that because I feel like I used to book a lot more when I went into the room and it was more personal. And if I did something that the casting director liked or the producers liked, they would usually be like, oh, I love what you did. Can you try it this way though? We see it more this way. Try it this way.
Yeah.
They could see if you could work with direction. I always call that the second step. And you don't really get that. You don't get that at all with self-tapes. You send in your best audition and then it's out of your hands. You never hear anything. And I always feel like they already got the person in mind that they want to pick, but they got to kind of follow this guideline
You never know though. That's like you're doing sponsor me videos again. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of like a sponsor me video. I get it. Auditions in person are way better. But you never know what could happen, bro. Someone might see something and go, oh, this guy.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I guess maybe I'm just jaded by that fact because I kind of like that other process a lot more.
I agree with you. It's more fun, too. You go in an audition and, you know, dudes are trying to talk to you. They're the same role. And you're like, leave me alone. I'll talk to
you. Dude,
don't try to get to know me.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had like a few callbacks from these like, you know, like self-tapes and I'll get a callback and it'll be like on Zoom. But the person, the casting director won't like put their video on so you could hear them. And then you could see all the different pictures of the different people that producers that are on there. And they won't even put their like their video on. You can just hear their audio. It's really, really cold, dude. It's really like, do this, do that. You don't know where it's coming from, who's saying it. You're gonna read with this person. It's fucked up, dude. I hate it.
Yeah,
so cold.
I don't like that at all. Thought of that.
No, it sucks.
You know, and you never. Yeah, you never know. Like weirdos, they might, you know, not showing their face and who they are, might not even be them. Hey, check it out, bro. You were in the movie Three from Hell. How was that?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm looking at your movies right now. I didn't know you were in all these movies, bro.
I like it. You know, that was the second Rob Zombie movie I did. And
are you friends with him?
I mean, when we're together, yeah. Like, you know, he's got millions of friends. No, I love his shit, too. And it was great because it was the second movie I did with him, and I didn't even have to audition. I just got offered the role because of the work I did with them the first time. So
What was the other movie?
It was called 31, where I played a Nazi Hitler clown. It was that spoke Spanish and was just crazy. Like it was.
Oh, I see that one too, right here. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just looking you up right here. I want Dick Dixter. What is that?
Something. Oh, that was a comedy. It was
you get a porno, bro. They want Dick Dixter.
No. It was actually a comedy. But it was there was porn in it, but not like X-rated porn. It was like, you know, just like
soft.
Not even soft. It was like they never showed it. It was supposed to be a porno set kind of filming shit.
Oh, I see. Yeah, whatever.
And the guy, Bobby Ray Schaefer, who was like this one of the supporting actors in the TV show The Office, who was really funny, by the way. I got to work with that guy.
Damn, you've been in like 20 movies or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew, bro. So what's this? What other ones would you say were your the ones that you like the most? The what's Candy Corn? What is that? That just
Candy Corn is a Halloween movie kind of thing, like an homage to like 80s slasher films. I play this kind of like dude that runs a freak show, a traveling freak show named Dr. Death, and it was really fun. That was a fun little movie. It's a good one for Halloween, man. You know,
But you were in Bad News Bears, the remake. Is that that's
yeah, I
it?
was in Bad News Bears with Billy Bob Thornton. That was the first movie I ever did, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Looking at the date, 2005, it says.
Yeah.
This is
I got to
crazy.
work with
Wow.
him, and I was a really, really terrible actor. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just kind of had the look that they were looking for.
How was he though?
Great. Fucking
Yeah.
funny.
Yeah, I like him in Sling Blade.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what I do you remember the in Sling Blade, like the dinner scenes with like the stepdad? Holy shit, that guy was funny, dude.
So good. So
And
good.
John Ritter was on it too. Like that's just, oh my God. You can see the actors trying not to laugh at the shit that this dude that's coming out of the stepdad's mouth. Like it
So
was
awesome.
hilarious.
So awesome. So you got any, so what was the last film you did then? Candy Corn or Santa Fake?
This
Santa Fake?
movie,
What is that?
Santa Fake, was like a Christmas movie that I did. No, the last movie I did is actually coming out in theaters in April. I shot it like in the summer. It was called The Groomsmen. It's kind of a mix of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith meets Kill Bill, you know. It should be funny. It should be fun. Like I play like there's like seven hitmen, and I play one of them. But my thing is I roll around with this fucking 7 foot Russian dude and just talk shit to him all the time and make him do the dirty work. I'm
Oh,
like the
cool.
brains of the operation, but I'm really awful too, you know? So it just kind of works out. And
Awesome.
that was really fun, Rick, because the way I got that was a friend of mine, who was in the actor's studio, Natalie, this girl named Natalie Byrne. She's like an action star. She's a fantastic actress, really pretty. But I hooked her up with a gig, like a job, like 5 years ago on this like web series kind of thing that like it was no, it was a pilot, and it never got picked up. But I just told the producers about her. They were my friends, and they booked her right away. And then she's like, I'm gonna get you back one day. And anyway, she had this movie that she had me in mind for, but the director and writers and producers weren't sure. And so I invited her to my comedy show.
Oh, cool.
And she's like, do you care if I bring the director and producer and writers with me? I'm like, no, I thought they're comped. And basically from that, I got the role. The director was like, dude, what you like. That comedy, like, holy shit. Like, now I know, like, what to add to my. You're going to be the comic relief that this needs. And I'm going to write this specifically for you with some of the jokes that you say. Because I think. And I was like, dude, that's like, you know, that's like, that shit doesn't happen. Like, we dream about shit like that
Yeah,
happening.
that's a cool gig.
And
Is
I
there
was
any?
like, being at the right place at the right time, man.
Yeah. Are there any other actors we know that's in that film?
I don't think
Big
so. No.
actors? No.
Orlando Jones, he's probably the bigger one, and I don't really the other ones have been in lots of shit. A
Yeah,
lot of
I got you.
action stars, because there's a lot of martial arts fighting in there, which
Got
was
it.
really, really cool to see. But
Hey man, movies are fun, dude. Movies are fun. So, and congrats, dude. What's that movie called again? So we can look out
it's
for
gonna be called the Groomsman.
it. Okay, cool. Stoked, bro. Stoked. Well, we're gonna lead to the next thing that you're about. Well, you do all everything, which I love. Comedy, bro. That's how we kind of really fully connected.
Man.
Comedy, yeah. When did that come about? Because people ask me all the time, what made you want to do comedy? It's like, dude, I have a list of like dreams and goals as a kid, and I'm just checking those shits off. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know what I
no,
mean?
yeah, me too, man. I what got it for me is like as soon as the pandemic like started slowing down, things started opening up again. My wife, she's actually a stand-up comedian, and she's been
Oh,
doing it for
cool.
like a long time. And so as soon as things started slowly opening up again, she started going to open mics and hitting them up. And I was like, we live really far away, so I was like, can I just go with you and watch? And she was like, yeah. So I went and watched, and I was like watching these dudes Like, and the things that they were talking about, and even the guys of shorter stature, not dwarves, but dudes of shorter stature, and the things that they were talking about. And it was just all like just complaining about being little and complaining about this or the typical dudes online dating and blowjobs. And I was just like, I was like, man, I got so much more to say. And like, my life wasn't like this. I got to like live a really, and I'm still living it like a real positive and successful life. Obviously, there's ups and downs with everything, but I got something different to say and something more unique. And that's kind of like the angle I took with it and just started slowly writing shit and seeing if it worked,
Yeah.
and trying it out. And then it just became with, because at open mics, you can't like really gauge if your joke's gonna work. Those people aren't there to listen to your joke. They're there to put up their own shit. So if you get someone at an open mic to look up and just like chuckle, you're like, okay, maybe there's something there. But the real place is just to put it up at a show. And so I did the open mics, and I still do them. And I did them for like a full year. And it took me like a full year before I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to do a show. I have a solid five. I have a bunch of other shit. Let's see what happens. And I started doing it, and then I became friends also with the guy Brad Williams. I know him just through acting, and I DM'd him, and I was just like, hey man, like I'm gonna come watch one of your shows. And we and I went and watched one of his shows, and then we he brought me in like the green room at the end, and we just talked. And I had sent him some tape already, and he was like, this is what you got to work on, this is the angle you got to take, this is how you're going to make it, basically. He kind of
Yeah.
mentored me in that way,
Right.
which really helped me, because you don't know, you still, I'm still trying to figure it out and find my voice, but at least I know what to talk about now that is going to bring people into my world,
Yeah,
and that was kind
absolutely.
of the hard thing for me at first. And with his help, it definitely benefited me. So thank you, Brad Williams.
Yeah.
I gotta plug him in there.
Absolutely. And speaking of open mics, I was joking. Okay, I know open mics serve a purpose, but I was talking to my buddy about this. Do you reach a point, and I'm asking you, because I question this. Do you reach a point where you go, all right, I'm graduated from the open mics. I don't need to go there anymore. Because our open mics, like for people that like aren't used to being in front of people or standing in front of people or telling a joke. And I think of that because I think like, is there a point where you just go, I don't need the open mics anymore?
I think there definitely is. But I also think, like for me, like for instance, I get that feeling, and it could be because I'm going to the same mic, and you get comfortable in the place and you start to know the people. But there's so many different mics in Los Angeles. Maybe you try an open mic where it's like a more like a African American type based open mic, and you go try your jokes over there. Or you go to you just, I feel like whenever you get comfortable at a place, you got to keep it moving and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think for me, like with skateboarding, I wasn't going to be great unless I practiced every day.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same discipline, at least for me, with open mics. I'm just beginning. I'm on my second year, so I think it's the same thing for right now. Maybe in like 6 months from now, I'll be like, fuck these things. But like,
Yeah.
definitely for now, if I get comfortable, I move to another one, because
Yeah.
everyone's different.
Yeah, I've been doing comedy now going on my 5th year.
Wow.
And
Yeah, that's a good
well,
time.
it is, but during COVID I didn't do anything. And then I started to realize that because I would question myself, like, I need to be on the mics tonight. Cause I would compare it to like riding. I'd be like, I need to be in the skate park, I need to be learning these tricks, I need to be stay consistent. And then you go down these open mics and I'm not dogging it by any means because it helped me, it served a purpose. But I think that sometimes open mics can be very clicky and very,
Absolutely.
and certain people. And so people are laughing at your jokes because you guys are friends, but will those jokes really work? And then you find yourself like, I paid gas here, I got to buy two drinks. this is costing me money. You know what I mean? And then you start to go like, are there other things I can do to help my comedy career besides open mics? Because I do want to be in front of people every night. I do want to be telling jokes. I love that feeling. And then I started to do other things. And that's why I was asking you if you ever feel that way, like, will I ever retire this? You know, it's like, I always joke and say like, I said this to a friend of mine. I don't know. I thought it was funny, but it's like, open mics remind me of AA meetings, but they serve alcohol.
Definitely, man. Absolutely.
I mean, because people are, but I'm not trying to shit on open mics or anybody that does open mics, because I'm all about it. And I've traveled. I did the Hollywood ones all through the Valley, this, that, whatever. And I just think that, like, a comedian told me, a pretty accomplished comedian that travels a lot, is known, said to me, get out of open mics as soon as you can. Mm. And I thought about that. And I thought, well, why? He goes, because you don't know if your jokes, it's not, you need to be in front of an audience. I said, well, how do you get in front of a paid audience every night to work on new material? Well, you have to do the open mics to get to that level. So people got to notice you, right? Do you agree with that?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I...
I mean, do you agree with the fact that, like you see these comedians and they do, like, this is how I analyze it. The big ones, okay, they'll go to, like, say, the Comedy Store, and they'll work on new material, and they're in front of a paid audience because they're a known comic. So they have reached that point where, like, a paid audience is still, like, an open mic to them, right? How do you get to that level? That's where I want to be, is what I'm saying. Like, would you want to be there where your open mics to work on new material were in front of a paid audience instead of, like, five dudes sitting on their phones waiting to go up?
Yeah, no, I definitely, you know? Would. I definitely would want to. That's the thing, though. Like, I feel like you'll know when you're ready for that. And that's a beautiful thing about social media, too, if you're putting your stuff out there. I mean, for me, like, the way it's become is, like, I'm still doing open mics, but I'm also constantly getting DM'd from different venues going, hey, would you be willing to come and do a 15-minute set? Would you be coming, you know? And as that keeps growing, that drive, or that feeling to get better keeps coming. So, like, at least for me, I think I need that open mic area. Am I spending a bunch of money on it? Yeah, but, like, I don't think I'm ready to graduate that yet. I feel like there's still so much for me. I feel like here's the thing. I feel like I'll be done with open mics, and I'll graduate from open mics when I have a solid 45-minute set. Because then I'll realize that I am capable. How long did it take me to get here? And that I'm capable of creating a solid 45-minute set. And now I don't need this area, this spot no more. I know I can do this at home, and I can trust myself. And I know that the jokes that I'm writing are going to hit the audiences.
Yeah.
And they're going to laugh, or they're not, you know?
Well, that's a good goal to have. And anyone listening, any comedians or anyone out there, I'm clearly not shitting on open mics.
Absolutely not.
Open mics are rough, dude. They're like you're in the trenches, bro. Like I've been to some where it's been like literally four guys or girls just sitting there on their phones, and you're like telling these jokes, and you feel like no one's even in the room. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you kind of go like, why am I here? I could just do this at home. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I can say, hey,
No, I totally feel you, man.
And then I started to go like, oh, but I think that they definitely have helped me in my whole career. Like, absolutely, with comedy. I just didn't know if you had felt that way
I
ask other comedians, you know, everyone has their own opinion.
You know what, though, Rick? I also feel with you and with your career of, like, you know, you did a lot of, you still do a lot of hosting. You're almost like, you know what it feels to be in front of an audience. You can read people. You know, like, what they want to hear. Like, there's comedians that don't have that.
Yeah,
and they need those open mics to kind of just be able to get something out. Like, I feel like you are just bred different, man. You're used to it. You're ready for it. You welcome it. Other dudes just, you know, it's really, really hard for most people. So, yeah, I think that's probably why you're feeling that way. Maybe you are ready to graduate, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a thought. And you know, and I got respect for anybody out there doing comedy and open mics and in the trenches and grinding and following their dreams, dude. You know, it's all good. You know, I do know for a fact, and I'll ask you this, if this happened to you as well, telling a joke in front of your friends is a lot different than telling it on the stage. Do you find that to be different?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like with my wife, I go through my jokes to her all the time. She just doesn't even laugh. She just gives me a straight face, and I'm like, "What the fuck am I supposed to do with that?" I'm like, "Is it not fun? Is it not funny?" She's like, "Try it in front of people," and I'm like, "Is it gonna get me canceled?" She's like, "I don't know." Try it in front of people. I'm like, "Okay, fuck you. I'm just gonna go to the open mic because." But with other friends, like, I'll try it in front of friends, and friends are always very supportive, you know.
Yeah,
I feel, you know, and they'll give their 2 cents, and some of the times, most of the time, it's not even whatever they give you is just like, all right, I already tried it that way, it doesn't work that way. Like, I'm not asking you like to give me notes. I'm just asking you if it's funny. If it's not, don't, you know.
Hey, bro, and you know when it's coming out, like, it's a worse feeling when he's doing a joke in front of him and he, like, doesn't work. You're like, all right, well, keep. And I learned, like, smile, stand up straight, keep it moving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
I think that with those moments where you do it in front of people and it doesn't work, the funny part is just getting out of it, watching the person get out of it, be like, okay, well. It worked earlier in front of the mirror. It's not working now. You guys aren't feeling my shitty joke. And then then people laugh, you know.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, they do. Let me ask you this. For me, one way that I got better was watching myself. I'm like, damn, I said that a lot. I didn't stand up straight. Laugh more and like start chiseling or critiquing yourself more. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I do. I definitely, I mean, cause it's even with skateboarding, you know,
dude, I was going to say that before you said that we probably got that from skating and riding because we analyze ourselves so much. Do it again. Oh, I could do higher. Oh, let me see it again. Oh, do that. And you say, oh,
like that was so sketchy. Like, got to do it again. You know, that was so sketchy.
Faster, faster.
Yeah. I was going so slow, you know, like whatever. Yeah. No, it's like, even with like acting, it's like when you film it and get it on film, you see all your bad habits, you know, just like what you're talking about. When I used to be doing stand up, I used to always have this thing where I had the mic cord and I would always like swing it around. And my wife was always be like, why are you swinging the mic cord around? And I'm like,
Henry Rollins. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not swinging the mic cord around. And then when I started watching the footage, I'm like, Jesus, like, this is like so distracting. Why am I doing this constantly? You know, like, and so little things like that. And I also think I feel the best thing for me is just to be really relaxed and just sit on things for a little bit longer, because there's nothing worse than rushing through a joke.
Yeah.
You rush through it and it just loses its, you know, whatever it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just
delivery.
Sit on it, relax. Just have fun up there.
Yeah, the delivery, man. Do you compare, I'll ask you this, because I do this quite a bit. I figure you might do the same. Do you ever compare what you're doing, like acting, if you were to host a gig, comedy, do you ever compare it back to your hard work that you learned from skateboarding and go, nah, if I was me skating, I'd pick myself up, try it again. Analyze what I'm doing. All these, everything I do.
You know what? Everything I do is it comes from that. Like, it stems from that. Everything, because I skateboarded for so long that it's just kind of ingrained in my soul, in my blood. You know, just to be that way.
Gave me the chills and when you said blood, bro.
And it's always worked that way for me. So yeah, no, 100%, man.
Awesome. Well, listen, dude, it's been rad to get to know you more. And I'm sure we're going to work a lot more. And you got a show coming up. Is this your first, you put together your first comedy show? Is this your show?
This will be my second one. It's the
What's it
Short
called?
Bus. It's called the Short Bus Revolt Comedy Show.
Where'd you get the and Short Bus thing from?
The Short
I'm kidding,
Bus.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No. But I listen, I never rode the Short Bus as a kid. But I always wondered why I didn't, because it said short on there. And I was like, well, you know. But no, regardless, I kind of got it because people are like are mean and they're used to like laughing at those people, where I think that now we could go. And I started that, like, it's like I want to take that Short Bus back and bring all my friends along for the ride with me on the bus. And it's not for us to be laughed at, but for people to laugh with us and to teach through humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it's all about for me. At least that's what I do with a lot of my comedy, is try to teach through humor.
Yeah, you're good, bro. You definitely, anyone out there, you should definitely check out Poncho's.
But we're
set.
Also doing a show together this weekend. We got to plug that in.
No, that's what I was getting at. That's the show.
All right, cool,
at.
Cool.
Yeah. That's the Short Bus, right?
Yeah.
Short Bus.
No. We're doing the Whiskey Republic together.
Oh, my show. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
your
yeah,
show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got my own comedy jam. I'm pretty psyched about it. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. And if it goes good, then I'm going to get it once a month. And if I got it once a month, you got a spot. You see what
awesome.
I'm saying?
Awesome. Have you ever done a show at the Whiskey Republic?
No. Basically, it's a bar that so we shot this pilot for this TV show called Run Boys. And it's just kind of like, I don't know what's happening with it yet, but it's pretty rad, dude. It's like full blown. How can I say, like, I've been on enough movie sets, filmed enough movies to tell you that the level and the amount of money they put into this thing, it's legit. Okay, like from the shooting to the actors to the, you know, the script, everything. And so these guys, they're two buddies of mine, and one of my buddy's girlfriends, they opened up a bar shortly after we got done filming this pilot. And so it's called Whiskey Republics. They live out there. Whiskey Republic. They live out there in the IE. And they said, and since I met them through Run Boys and stuff, they're like, yo, dude, this bar's popping. Like, it's the new hotspot in Redlands where you do a comedy show here. Because they supported some of my early Rainbow shows that I did. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. That's it. That's basically how I got the gig. So I haven't been like out there to Redlands, but I know that Redlands has a community of people that kind of stays in Redlands, you know? Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I pre-sold a good amount of tickets already, so which was better than the other show that I put on. So that's saying something already. You know what I mean? So anyways, it's going to be good. And if we get it once a month.
Dude, your lineup is fire, dude.
It's going to be great. Yeah, it's good. Everybody's good. And one thing about me with comedy, everybody gets paid something. I'm that guy that, like, I want to make money doing what I love to do. So I want to pay people that I feel like, you know, that when I'm on the show, that at least something for their time, because there's nothing, no greater feeling or like excitement to go do something where you're actually making just like a little bit of something. You know what I mean? Like, you get the show and the show's great, but if someone could be like, hey, here's, you know, $100 for coming out. You'd be like, what? That's dope. You know what I mean? And I just want everyone to feel like good about the show, perform good, and talk good about it, and just try to build this thing. And if it goes, we'll be out there once a month, you know? So
I'm stoked. It's going to be my first show out of Los Angeles. Every show I've done has been in Los Angeles. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay. I got to know that. Okay. I got to know these things, cause I'm going to be hosting, get all my notes ready. Ha.
No, it's going to be a good one, man. I actually the first Short Bus Revolt show I did, I put on that dude, cause I met him through you, Joe Jimenez. And
great.
He like, yeah. And he like, you know, we had so much in common when I met him through you, like used to skateboard, you know, we're in the same type of music. Now he's a drummer. He does stand up and his stuff, he's hilarious. And I put him on a show and he ended up like kind of headlining because our headliner had to go up first because she had another show. So we, you know, like you put together these shows and things just happen last minute where you got to kind of like make it work.
Yeah.
And so Joe was, I'm like, you care? You want to, will you go up last? I'll give you, you know, 15 minutes or whatever. And he's like, I can do 12. And I'm like, all right, cool. He went up, crushed it,
Yeah, he's
Rick.
great. He's great.
Crushed it so hard where my friends are repeating his jokes.
That's
Like, is that
awesome.
guy gonna be there again? Is Joel gonna be like, he was great, man. He made me look good. We made each other look good. You have a good lineup, dude.
Oh yeah, the lineup's sick, bro. I'm pretty stoked about it. It's you, it's like Bruna, Portugal, it's
Bruna's a beast, dude. She's funny.
Kintza. She's great. She's Russian and she's can sing. She's a singer as well. So I met her at the Bourbon Room. My buddy puts on a show over there called Whiskey Business.
Okay.
It used to be called Supernova. And then like I got Ryan Clark works at the Improv. He's in the band with Joel, which is Mad Peaceful. And then I got Gonzo. They used to tour with Rafi May.
You know, it's funny. Gonzo, is that Mark Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm so used to the skateboarder Mark Gonzalez.
Me to anybody named, yeah. Whenever I think of the name Mark Gonzalez, no disrespect towards anyone, I always think of the skater because that's the world I'm from as well.
Yeah.
And then I got Trevor Kevlo.
Okay.
And then I got Xavier G. He does a podcast with Sam Tripoli, and then he the Tim Foyle podcast, and then he does the We Don't Smoke the Same podcast. But he's friends with Be Real and all those guys work together, and I did one of his shows. So you meet people out that you feel like, oh, this is a good show, these guys are good.
I have a question for you as far as, because you've done a lot of shows and, you know, and these are my first few, but from seeing shows that people put on, even like as far as like the shows like at the Comedy Chateau that me and you have both done, I have been very specific when I choose my lineup for shows as far as the last few I've done, because I want to hook up all my friends, but I need everyone that's on that stage to be consistent. I need it to be something where I've seen them a few times and they've always killed. It's just because it's business, you know. I don't want to
Yeah.
charge people all this money to come watch someone bomb, you
Yeah.
know, like, or someone that I've seen bomb before, but I'm putting them on just because they're my buddy. And then it's, you know, it's, I feel like in the beginning stages, for me at least, I need to put on like people, whether they're my friends or not, that kill, just absolute killers. And I think you're the
Yeah.
same way.
Yeah.
For
Well, that's when things get clicky. That's what I was trying to say before is like I could put on a show with a bunch of people I meet somewhere and they're like, and you become friends and you feel obligated. And not, you want to put on a, you want to make a good show. You want to, you, it's a different objective you have, like, and in regards to like, well, I want the bar to make money because I want to come back and do this show and I'm going to create opportunities for people and pay people. So you want the talent to be good.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to hire bike riders that can't do the tricks that I want them to do. And then people be like, and it doesn't have the same impact. It's not going to build anything. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
It's
I
not
mean
going to move you forward.
that's just how it works, and that's just how like how you, I, what I've learned is that you do things for people. Like you said, you hire people that kill, right? So I want people to hire me because I kill. Does that make
Yeah.
sense? Like I do things that in that form, like do unto others as I want for myself, and that goes back to like I said, well, I want everybody to get paid because I that's just part of the gig. Because that's how I see myself. That's where I want myself to go. For me, comedy isn't so much just like a career move besides challenges, but I don't know if that's for you or for you or not, but it's kind of like, in a sense, it is kind of like that. Isn't like I'm just like, oh, this is something I'm going for that I'm serious about. That like, I gotta put food on the table and these are the things that I want to do, doing the things I love to do. Do you feel you gotta feel the same way at your age about that?
I
Who
do.
wouldn't, right? So if you're putting on a show and you're trying to build a show, and you're at Fourth Wall, your show is going to be at Fourth Wall Comedy, so I'm sure that they want something for you to do your show there. So you got to make,
Yeah,
and
to
I mean
sell
money,
tickets. Yeah, you got
yeah,
it.
man. So that goes back to you want to have good talent. So anybody that I know, I can introduce you. Yeah, man, let's build both of our shows. There's room
Yeah.
for everybody,
No,
So.
absolutely, man. Well, hey, man. Dude, thank you for having me on, man. It's always so good to see you, and I'm gonna see you this weekend, and we're gonna have a blast.
Yeah, we are, dude. We are. And so before we end this though, real quick, dude, What's your Instagram and what's your how do people get in touch? We follow you. What you got going on?
My Instagram is Poncho Moller P. That's PanchoMoller, and then just the letter P. And that's how you find me on that's basically the only platform I use.
You got a website?
PanchoFMoller at gmail.com. And then also Short Bus Revolt Comedy. Short Bus Revolt Comedy. That's my other kind of more for my business of the comedy show. But I also put stuff on for Instagram on my regular Instagram. Yeah, but that's basically it. DM me. I'll get back to you. You know?
Okay, cool, bro. Well, listen, man. Thanks a lot for taking time, and stay rad, bro. Everyone follow Poncho and go watch his comedy. You're funny, bro.
Oh, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, man. Stay rad.
All right, stay rad. Much love.